In 4 days, President George W. Bush will be inaugurated for the second time. Massive security precautions are being implemented, and despite some criticism of the money being spent on the inauguration and its attendant balls and parties, the administration remains committed to a full-scale celebration. Joining us to talk about the inauguration and other political issues is Doyle McManus, Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Welcome back, Doyle.
Good morning, Leanne.
I know over this past week you've been looking over the president's first inaugural address. Do you expect the second one to have similar tones, or do you anticipate some differences?
Well, a little bit of each. You know, it's striking if you go back and read the inaugural speech he gave 4 years ago. You can find the roots of an awful lot of what happened in that first term in that speech. Remember, at that point, he was coming off that bitterly contested Supreme Court-decided election against Al Gore. He was a minority president, so there was a big theme of national unity there. But there were also themes that we've come to see as familiar. Democracy in the Middle East. Tax cuts were a big theme in the first speech. And also a lot of religious language, which came as something as a surprise. This time, I think we're still going to see the religious language. We will still see the appeal to national unity, but this is now a president who thinks he has a big majority mandate. This, I think, is going to be a little more assertive, a little more confident, a little more aimed at laying down what he wants his legacy to be after two terms.
There has been criticism not only over the costs of the inauguration, but over the security and the people who will be allowed to watch the parade and the swearing in. Does the White House feel this heat at all?
The White House shows no sign of feeling the heat at all, and this is a piece of the practical political engineering that this White House has brought to the process. You remember during the campaign when there were complaints that they required tickets or identification to get into Bush rallies, that protesters couldn't get into the rallies. Well, this is the extension of the same principle to the inaugural parade. Now, we're not talking about all of Pennsylvania Avenue. People will still be able to walk up with protest signs in some areas. But if they want to get into those bleachers, they're going to have a friend on the inaugural committee. But to me, the more troubling thing over time, and this is not just a Republican issue, the Democrats did this too under Clinton, is the fact that this inaugural festivity has turned into an enormous fundraising vehicle to which corporations are allowed to contribute. It's going to hit $40 million, and it really looks like sort of the biggest loophole in creation in any attempt at campaign finance reform.
Let's talk a little bit about the business of the administration. Condoleezza Rice is expected to be confirmed this week as the new Secretary of State. She replaces Colin Powell. Have you seen any early indications about how her Department of State will differ from her predecessor?
Well, the most interesting thing that has happened on that front is Condoleezza Rice's selection of Robert Zoellick, who's now the U.S. Trade Representative, to be her number two. It's the Deputy Secretary of State. It's an obscure, but it's a terrifically important job because an enormous amount of the actual practical work of working out conflicts among agencies, conflicts between the State Department and the Defense Department, for example, is done by those number two characters. In the Pentagon, it's Paul Wolfowitz. Under Colin Powell, it has been Richard Armitage, who's been very, very close to Colin Powell. He calls himself Powell's wingman. This was important. Why was it important? Bob Zoellick is a figure from the first Bush administration. He's not a neoconservative. He's not a hard right character. His conservative credentials are impeccable, but so are his moderate credentials. He was a protege of James Baker, the first President Bush's Secretary of State. So far, this looks like almost a return to the earlier Bush administration.
And now Colin Powell seemed to have some difficulty from the beginning in becoming part of the president's inner circle. Condoleezza Rice is not going to have that problem, is she?
No, that is going to be the biggest difference. Condoleezza Rice is not only indistinguishable from this president on policy grounds. In fact, she was his first foreign policy teacher. She's, in effect, a member of the Bush family, and so that's going to be the biggest difference. Colin Powell had a problem becoming a full part of the team, and that made him the outsider in the Bush administration. This flips that, and so what we may see, and I think what may be the unexpected in this second term, is that Donald Rumsfeld, the unstoppable Donald Rumsfeld, may finally have met his immovable obstacle in Condoleezza Rice.
And finally, about the Iraqi elections, they're 2 weeks away. What are the administration's main concerns at this point?
Well, of course, it's been a concern how many Iraqis will come out and vote, and the administration is already busy lowering expectations there. But even more than that, administration officials are focusing on what happens after Election Day. The problem is we know that Sunni Muslims, the 20% minority of Sunni Muslims who ran the country under Saddam Hussein, aren't going to get many seats in the new parliament. So the question is, will the Shiites who win reach out, not only reach out in a kind of a general courtesy sense, will they give them jobs? Will they give them ministries? Will they get high positions? And that's not just symbolism, because in Iraq, like any place else, if you have the job, if you have the ministry, you get a lot of other jobs and contracts to pass out. It's practical politics.
Doyle McManus is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times and a regular guest on our program. Thanks for coming in, Doyle.
Thank you.